To welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you enjoy this message, please send some donations to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our flowers this morning are provided by Brent and Brian Wickman in honor of Dale and Judy's 55th wedding anniversary. And our radio this morning is sponsored by Trinity United Methodist Church. On Monday, July 11th, from 5:30 to 7:30, there will be the next Children's Night Out. It will be a fun evening filled with a movie and pizza. Kids from 4 to 12 are welcome to come and join in the fun. Parents, do not forget to pick them up at 7:30. Our next community meal will be Saturday, July 16th from 5 to 7 o'clock. Please, if you are in need of a good meal, come and enjoy. If you don't want to cook that night, come and enjoy. Our church is blessed with several good cooks. See you there at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our scripture this morning is from Mark 4, 26 through 34, and it's on page 994 in your pew Bible. The parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has begun." The parable of the mustard seed. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch at its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Our sermon this morning is Eyes of Faith by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Good morning. To those of us in the church, at times, we are especially good at being busy Christians instead of faithful Christians. So from time to time, it helps to go back and take a look at the basics. In short, maybe it's time we take a look at what we mean by faith. Faith is the basis of all we are about as Christians. After all, it's no accident that it is called the Christian faith and not the Christian religion. While many of us often use the words belief and faith interchangeably, they are not the same. Belief has to do with agreeing in something that is or is not true. We believe the earth is round, but I highly doubt any of us have been on a spaceship to look and see whether or not the earth is round. We take for granted the words that have told to us and the pictures that we have seen. We trust what they have to say. And that trust is closer to the meaning of faith than what we believe to be true. In other words, trust is what turns belief into faith. Perhaps the best word for faith is reliance. If we trust something, if we have faith in it, we rely on it. Leading youth groups, I learned big topic. Ask any middle school student if they believe that an airplane can fly. And they'll say, "Well, of course, sure, so what?" They will agree to it. Then I would go on and say, but you really don't believe that until you get on the plane and you shut the door and the plane takes off. It's then where that belief turns into reliance or trust. It is then that you trust this enormous machine that's really more like a fancy huge fuel tank, that it will take off and take you to where you want to go. That is the best example I can think of to explain the difference between belief and faith. Doubt itself is not the opposite of faith. It is part of faith formation. We believe a lot of things, but we don't really have faith in them until we rely on them, until we trust that they will do the things that they will say they will do. Many of us believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we accept him as our Lord and our Savior. But we only prove it when we live like it. When we take Jesus' teachings to heart, we rely on them to show us the way. We rely on his guidance to help us to live in this world. And we rely on his grace to do our part in seeing that God's kingdom comes to earth as it is in heaven. We can see this message in our gospel lesson from Mark. It is one of those places where Mark likes to group two teachings together in pairs. The first one is of the growing seed, and the second one is the parable of the mustard seed. While these parables are different, they are also similar. Both parables talk about the coming of the kingdom of God and the life in his ministry, especially for those who have the ability to see it, to have eyes of faith. The parable of the growing seed stresses the mysterious nature of God's realm. The seed grows mysteriously during the night. The farmer sows the seed, but then the process of growth begins, imperceptibly, gradually. It is like the greening of grass on a spring after a long winter snow and ice. Gradually, the transformation takes place. There comes a day when we notice it, when we have eyes to see it, and our eyes may seem as if it just happened overnight. One day the lawn is covered with snow and ice, and the next day it is beautifully lush and green. It takes place mysteriously, the same way as the corn grows from seed itself, first the stalk and then the head, and then the full grain in the head. In secret, God quietly oversees the mysterious process of growth. Our faith is like that. There are times when we think that we are losing our faith, but in actuality, we are moving to a deeper level. What appears on the surface as disorder and confusion and even disintegration can actually be the mysterious process of growth, pushing us to another stage on the way to mature faith. If we had a God's eye view, we might be less concerned. In truth, growth is never easy, especially spiritual growth. A wise minister friend of mine used to say it this way: faith is like the label on a bottle of medicine. Shake well before using. The way to a deeper level of faith is to give up the level of faith that we already have. Another way to say this is to trust the process, but it takes eyes of faith to see that. The second parable about the mustard seed makes a similar but a different claim. It tells us that faith is not only a mysterious process of growth, but at any given moment, the faith that we have is able to do much more than we think it can do. How much faith do we need? Not very much, it seems. Just as much or as little as a mustard seed, as tiny as the pinpoint of a head on a pin. The mustard seed Jesus is talking about is a black mustard seed, and it was planted and cultivated as used for a spice. Sometimes the seeds were ground into powder and the oil was reserved for something else, for other purposes. The mustard plant could grow upward as tall as 10 feet, yet the mustard seed itself was as tiny as the head on a pin. The point is that the size of the seed is small in comparison to the mature plant. or spiritually, a little faith can make a big difference and it can go a long way. Jesus meant this parable to be a source of encouragement, and that is how most of us take it when we hear it. It is a comfort to know that we don't have to have much faith at all. If we have the faith of the size of a mustard seed, that's all we need. In other words, how much faith do we need? Not very much. We just need the right kind. Perhaps Jesus is speaking of a genuine faith as opposed to a false or a fake faith. A person with a genuine faith is able to affect things in a way that often exceeds our greatest expectations. But a false faith? Could it be that Jesus knew that there were times when we would try to fake it? Rather than search deeper into our own minds and hearts for the right response, we resort to canned cliches. When the moment of truth presents itself, we fall back into some old ways of things that we had done. Brilliant public speakers, even Christian ones, quake in their boots when they're asked to pray publicly. They instantly resort to a childhood prayer they once learned rather than to plumb the depths for what their adult soul might be wishing them to say. I've done it, and I suspect that you may have done it as well. A prominent Christian educator, James Fowler, has said, "That is the difference between inherited faith and an owned faith. An inherited faith is the faith that we receive from our parents and grandparents. And beloved, there are no children who make it to heaven because of their parents or their grandparents. It was their faith and we learned it from them. For them, it was genuine. But for us, times have changed and we have moved on. We have our faith, but we tend to get stuck in their faith. The only thing wrong with that kind of faith is it is not our own." Fowler says that it is possible to move from inherited faith to an owned faith, and there is a period of time in between that may look like a lack of faith. Disinherited or disowned faith is what he calls it. And it is the way that most of us move on from the faith of our fathers and our mothers to one of our own. The only problem is that some of us tend to get stuck in the in-between stages. And that is what many parents of college-age children are afraid of. They are afraid that their sons and daughters will go off to college and they will lose their faith. I know that I, as a pastor and a mama, was afraid of that as well. But the other part of this truth is that they may need to lose their faith so that they can find one of their own, one that suits them and works for them. What we should be happy about is that they are on the lookout for a faith that sustains them and not a faith that sustains us. They need something that can sustain them through life, just as our faith has sustained us through our lives. So how much faith is enough? A little of the right kind of faith, a genuine kind. When you have this kind of faith, it is amazing what you can do, and it is amazing what can happen. Even extraordinary things can take place. It's often difficult to find the right example to give as a witness to this kind of faith. What appears to be amazing to one person may be just a matter of fact for another. With faith, people have been able to lift a car off of another human being. The time when we seem to most need this faith is when we're praying for physical healing. There are those times when we pray for someone to get well, and when they don't, we jump to conclusions. We automatically think that our faith was not strong enough, when in truth, God does not mean for every person on this earth to get well when we pray for them. Sometimes the ultimate healing is the healing of going home. We also forget that not everyone will get well, but everyone will receive some sort of a healing. There is something else as well. Sometimes God does what seems to be amazing with our little bit of faith, and he takes it and he works a mighty miracle with it. I know I was absolutely astounded in a previous congregation when we prayed for a man. The doctors did all they could. The whole congregation prayed. But we were all surprised when he turned out to be healthy just like that overnight. The patient's recovery surprised even himself. It was as close to a miracle of healing as most of us had ever witnessed. The individual himself felt that way, that our faith, if genuine, can work wonders. It just doesn't have to be a life or death matter. It happens every time someone takes a job on in the church and thinks they can't handle it. And then they turn out, lo and behold, to master that job well. Think of this. People have found out that they can take care of others when they never dreamed they could. My papa was a man's man. When I grew up, he was always fishing or hunting. And I never remember seeing him do one single thing domestic in the house, other than maybe fry fish and hush puppies. But when my Nana got sick, he managed to take care of her and us. My little sister and I. He took care of us through scarlet fever. I had rheumatic fever. My Nana had a stroke. And he managed to take care of all of us because he had faith that God would help him. My Nana came to rely upon him, and so did I. And that's another reason that I believe that reliance is another word for faith. So I ask you once more, how much faith is enough? Just a little? Just as long as genuine faith and as long as it is yours. Yes, Jesus got it right, the size of a mustard seed. One day when you least expect it, the strength of your own faith may come lifting up through the ground like a crocus, lifting its hardy head up through a long winter's nap, turning into a beautiful blossom. And that is when you know you have the eyes of faith. In keeping with the eyes of faith theme, let us sing Be Thou My Vision, found on page 451. And please join us in singing.
If our ushers would please come forward.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. go forth from here with the assurance that God is with us in every moment, every step, every day. And may we be filled with a renewed faith. In Jesus' name, amen.